All right, here we are. Psalm 74, the scripture that was given to me before I left Katstrin this morning, back through Magan, kibbutz, resort place, back up to Hamat Gadera, Belvoir, and Tel Megiddo, back to the beach. Psalm 74. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, the Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. That means the real, authentic church. The Hebrews 12:13, the Mount Zion, not the Mount Hagar, not the earthly institutions, the heavenly company. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolation. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting places. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. And now they break down the carved works all at once. With axes and hammers, they have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They have said in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. Why do we not see our signs? There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows. How long, O God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemies blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You have divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave them as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and flood. You dried up mighty rivers. The day is yours. The night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God. God, arise. Plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. And even the tumult of those that call themselves by your name and do not walk in your ways. Hoy vey, are there a lot of those. And the other scripture, which goes along with this scripture, and this has to do with the authentic Christianity. The Christianity actually started in the Galilee. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised up in Nazareth, and his ministry began in the Galilee. And there he rebuked Capernaum and Chorazin, and he said it would have been better for them. It's going to be better, you know, for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they had so much revelation, and they turned away. They had no faith. Jesus preached all around the Galilee. So that's the cradle of Christianity, or the people of the way. Let's call them that, because Christianity is a name that a lot of other people have put. They're tagged Christ, you know, followers of Christ, and they're no more followers of Christ than a rock or, you know, the beach where I'm sitting on, and whose waves you hear in the background are the waves of the Mediterranean. I moved from the car to the beach. Yippee. Anyway, and as it says, well, what is this? You know, Jesus never came to lord it over, you know. He wasn't, I mean, even when he sat in front of Pilate and he said, well, they all say you're king of the Jews. He said, it's right what you say, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And then Pilate said, well, what is truth? And Jesus didn't answer him, because the truth was standing right in front of him. And if you can't see it, your eyes are veiled. You have not given the revelation by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, unless you seek him and humble yourself and ask him to search you and see if your way, how your ways are. Well, that's the way I was taught. Well, good for you. You were taught, you know, in the church system that there were all the daughters of Babylon. It came out of Constantinian conquering Christianity throughout Jesus, the Jewish part of Jesus out of the church, paganized it, and then started some crusades and think that they're going to have dominion now on earth, you know, and take the seven mountains or whatever. You know, I don't think so. When the Lord returns. Or they're politically correct. Well, you know, just for the sake of unity, kumbaya. No, Jesus said, holiness means to separate. I didn't come to bring, you know, I came to bring a sword. To divide. Right into your heart. And circumcise you. So you're waving your little flag around of carnality. Anyway. The scripture at Tel Megiddo is real interesting how the Lord works and moves. But it's what were the requirements for the king? Since the people wanted a king, the Lord set up requirements for rulership. So let's have a look at those. Okay, I want to just address the issue of the kings when they came to the lands and then they wanted to have a king over them. They were tired of having the Lord as their Lord. And he had set judges over them. And so they wanted the king. And the king had definite instructions. And so if you think you're a royal priesthood and you're in the ministry and you're called to this, then in your royalty, that's what the Lord says. Deuteronomy 17:14. When you come to the land which your Lord your God is giving you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord God chooses. One from among your brethren. One from among your brethren. Okay. You shall set his king over you. One that's born in your land and among your brethren and trained up in the ways of the Lord. But he shall not multiply horses for himself. Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. So don't go back to the ways of Egypt. And in Tel Megiddo, they multiplied horses and it had a great stable. And they supplied them for their war chariots. And neither shall he multiply wives for himself. No harem ministries, no volunteers, no exploiting people and having them serve for free so that you can benefit off of their ministry. You know, no freebies in the children's ministry and the nursery ministry. Come on. You know, come on. You shall not return that way again. Neither shall you multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Hello. You shall not multiply silver and gold for yourself. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the right, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he's something special, that pride enter in, that, you know, he's a privileged persona. And you shall not, and he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. All right, so that he keeps the commandments. What? Don't covet, don't lust after other people's properties, their children, their laborers, their maidservants, their men servants, their properties, their fruits of their labors of their hands. Okay, no special entitlements, please. And what has happened? We see exactly the opposite. Here comes the, you know, here comes the Babylonian system in the house of the Lord. Let me tithe this and pay for this and pay for your children here and pay for that and pay for this and give me your time and come to serve with so many, you know, so many days of the week. Hey, while you're at it, you know, get straw and make bricks. And woe to those who have a driving spirit, that they're driven in their ambition to build their ministries and make themselves a name among the nations. Woe to them. All right, enough of my rant. I just don't like exploitation of laborers or wage earners or anyone. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. With whatever God has given you, whether I base or abound, you know, I've learned to, when I'm in abundance, to be thankful in it, and with not, to learn to fast. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So anything beyond that becomes covetous for ministry or for ambition or however. Anyway, God bless you. This is, you know, enough for today. Bye.